You're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Rebeller Sports.
4 seconds left.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to RBLR USA. It's all about the Olympics next week, guys. Welcome back to the show. My name, as always, is Jake Ricker. Alongside me, it's Jose Mataro. It's Matt Gannon. And, guys, well, we haven't had any Lightning hockey in recent weeks, which I have to admit has been pretty depressing. I need my boys back for watching some Lightning hockey. But we have a lot to talk about with the Olympics in full swing now. But first and foremost, before we get into everything, guys, how you doing today?
You know, doing pretty well. I love when the Olympics come around. It's like my favorite time between the Winter Olympics and Summer Olympics. That, you know, they're some awesome just sports in general to be able to watch. So I can't remember the last time I watched this much hockey. I mean, it's been several years, you know, where I'll watch a couple of different games every single day. It's been great.
And believe it or not, this is actually my first Olympics as a like true hockey fan getting to watch, you know, NHL players in the Olympics. You know, I wasn't really around for 2014. Like, yeah, I'd casually watch it, you know, as an American fan, whatever. But this is my first full go of NHLers in the Olympics being a true hockey nerd, if you will. So I'm excited. I love it. Same with you, Joe. I've been watching, you know, not only just the U.S. game, not just the U.S. men's, but the women's, you know, the Czechia women's and whatever it might be, just it, taking it all in, because it is just so amazing, you know, getting these players back into the Olympics.
I've been bummed. I haven't been able to watch as much as I nearly would like to, because I've been dealing with work and just not able to get to a TV screen at the time. But it's been a ton of fun. And Matt, you mentioned the 2014 Olympics. Nothing will ever top TJ Oshie's shootout extravaganza. That was by far one of my favorite Olympic moments, and big reason I'm a huge TJ Oshie fan, and why I was very upset when he went to the Washington Capitals, because everybody that knows me, I'm not a Washington Capitals fan. But anyway, I digress. Welcome everybody who's joining with us live today, by the way. Already got some people jumping in the comments section. Love the USA, getting into the spirit too there as well. Don't forget, you can drop your comments down below. Get them up on stream. We'd love to hear what you guys have to say. Join the conversation. And don't forget to follow us on social media at RBLR Sports, at RBLR Lightning, so you don't miss out when we do go live. Ring the bell for notifications. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. All that good fun stuff. But with that said, let's get into it, and let's start talking about some of the things going on at the Olympics, guys. And you do have to watch the games live if you do want to see what's going on, because unfortunately, there's no really real replays going on. You know, in an NHL game, if a team scores, they will post that video. And I mean, multiple outlets will post the video. You can kind of see it. But with the Olympics and the TV deals and with NBC, there's no videos. You cannot repost them unless it's specifically NBC. But teams are having a little bit of fun and doing something a little bit different for their goal recaps.
So, yeah, you can watch the full replays, but, yeah, there aren't really any of those condensed versions of the game that I've found. And, I mean, if anybody else has found something that is being put out officially, please, you know, link it in the comment section. But, yeah, some of the teams have been having some fun, and I know the NHL posted, I think it was like the first goal, maybe by Austin Matthews, where they posted like a stick figure animation showing exactly step by step how it got deflected in. It was not only hilarious, but incredibly accurate and, you know, a great way of bypassing, you know, the rights restriction on it.
Yeah, even for how crude it was, you know, it did display how accurate it actually was, like, despite it being, you know, it's still a better drawing than I can do, but very crude. No, I could totally understand what was happening there, but they are locking down on the content here. I like saw a video posted from like an NHL like meme account or something on Instagram, and it had a video of the game, and, you know, I sent it to a friend, and he opens it 2 minutes later. He's like, it's not available. I'm like, they struck it down within like 5 minutes of it being posted.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a shame because I'm really glad the NHL used to be like that too, where they, if anybody posted the video, even if it was like, you know, on Twitter, you can post somebody's video to give them credit. Like NHL used to crack down even on that, but they've gotten a lot more relaxed on it. And to me, you know, I get there's restrictions and rights and money and all that fun stuff, but that's one of the best ways to grow the game. Let people see those clips that get them of these cool, amazing events that are happening. And unfortunately, that's not what's going on with the Olympics. The one I saw, by the way, was not the stick figure, but it was the New York Islanders. They posted a video of Brock Besser's bobblehead, and they kind of just moved it around on screen and threw some random audio behind it. It's pretty funny. I give them credit for that. For anyone wondering, for the Lightning, they have not been posting anything too crazy like that. They kind of just been posting some pictures and updates on who's been scoring. So every team doing it a little bit different. But I have been enjoying the funny little skits that people are doing to recreate.
The Lightning social media team has never been their strong suit, so
they've come up with some good videos. Like, the Gord video when he re-signed was really, really funny. I'll tell you though, and we talked about this last week, but Thunderbug is continuing to do an unbelievable job in his social media. Did you guys see the Olympic one that he posted?
I can't say that I have.
Oh man, it was great. They've been doing this thing where they'll take a video of Thunderbug and they'll put a little caption in the middle of the screen. It says like, what the bug doing? And he's doing something random or whatever. And this time it was him on the rink floor, which had no ice, by the way, which is really weird to see in the middle of the Olympic break. And he was sweeping with a Roomba Rombot going in front and said, getting ready for the 2030 Olympics, which was really funny. So again,
I did get to see that. That was pretty funny. I don't know, man. I forget how much I get into curling every year. Like, I'm like, all right, I'll put it on, but I don't think I've missed but like a handful of games so far with both the doubles or like the mixed and then the men and the women. I love curling, man. That is such a cool game.
It's one of those things that I put on as a joke and I'm, you know, just on my phone for a little bit. And then I like find myself like getting closer and closer to the TV. I'm like, wow, this is actually
start yelling sweep.
This is actually really entertaining. No, I'm definitely, you know, in the curling trance during the Olympics, especially with how good the U.S. team is doing too.
Oh yeah.
Was it the doubles one that they ended up getting silver? I believe they lost to Sweden. I don't remember what it was. I think it was doubles. Might've been mixed too. But either way, they have been playing very good. You're right, Matt. And every USA team, including the hockey teams here at the Olympics, has also been playing pretty darn good, specifically the women's team. I want to talk about them. They have been on quite an impressive streak. If you have missed it, the USA women's team has scored at least 5 goals in, I believe, every single one of their games. They've only given up 1 goal in their last, I think it's the entire tournament, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, like, entire tournament, yeah.
Ridiculous run. They're undefeated.
I think it's like 31-1 differential. Mm-hmm.
I think you're right. 31-1, that's better than Team Canada's differential right now, to give you an idea. And I mean the men's team, Canada, their goal differential, which is also really good right now. Yeah, they're doing really, really good in USA Women. They're going to be playing in the gold medal game against Canada. That doesn't really surprise anybody. I kind of expected that. I believe that game is on Thursday for the women's gold medal game. So be sure to tune into that, see if they can pull off the win against Canada. USA is the heavy favorites right now.
Yeah, it's going to be at 1 p.m. on Thursday. I'm definitely looking – I'm really looking forward to that one because USA versus Canada, I mean, it's that's the way that the – it seems like most of these Olympics go when it comes to these hockey games. You know, Sweden gets in the mix for the men's, quite a bit. But this is going to be a big one, and I think that our women's team has enough to be able to do it. They're so good when you watch them. Some of the puck movement they have is, you know, vastly superior to some of the other teams. It looks a lot more like the men's because it's a different style. Like when you watch the men play, you see players come in like waves, and they often, as soon as they enter the zone, will hit someone that's a trailer. You don't see that nearly as much in the women's games, but the U.S. women's team does that a lot where some of the other teams don't. So it's almost like they're just out, you know, playing a different game. It's almost like they're playing at a completely different level.
It's always been such a the men and the women's been so different. We were talking about this last week too, how it's only, you know, arguably more entertaining in a different way. You used the word last week was finesse. There is a lot more of it in the women's game. It seems a lot faster. It might as well actually be faster. But for the longest time, it's been Canada versus the world. Like, that's always been the powerhouse, especially in the men's. But it seems like this year especially, you've got the track record to prove it, that it's the U.S.'s medal to lose. Like, the gold absolutely should go to the U.S., but it would be an upset if Canada got that gold, because the way that some of these Canadians have been talking about their women's team, they're not exactly happy with how it's been constructed. And they're giving a lot of props to the U.S. team. They're saying that Canadian hockey is kind of, at least in the women's field, has kind of taken a dip. And they don't like the way that the team's running, who the coaches are, and some of the players they selected. They think they're relying too much on the older crop of players, even though, you know, Marie-Philippe Poulin, she's the Sidney Crosby of the women's players, or even the Wayne Gretzky. But the U.S. team, like, they're young, they're fast, they're physical too, for, you know, what they can get away with as well. It's their medal to lose.
I'm with you on that one, Matt. They've been playing that good that it seems like they should be the heavy and are the heavy favorites to win this. And they already did play each other in the early rounds, U.S. and Canada, and U.S. won. Now, Canada did not have their captain of the team, if you think that could potentially make a difference. But as you said, Matt, the U.S. won that game pretty darn handily. So, favor is for the USA right now in that game. So hopefully they can bring home the gold, and maybe we can even get a USA sweep on both sides. So how nice would that be for the U.S. to come through and win both sides? But let's talk about the men's tournament, because there's a lot going on, both with Team USA, Team Canada, all the bolts at the Olympics. The first thing I do want to bring up, though, and I see some comments I want to get to later in our comment section, so we'll get to that in a moment. But the first thing I want to bring up is J.J. Moser, because he has gotten the most attention right now at the Olympics, and not because he is scoring so many goals and assists, has a lot of points, because he is doing very well for himself, but it's because, guys, of his number that he is sporting at this tournament, and that, of course, is number 86. So people are getting a huge kick out of that. I've seen a lot of jokes of JJ, Nikita Kucherov, Moser, and he's scoring like he is Nikita Kucherov out there. So that's been quite entertaining for JJ Moser and his number.
It's a good teammate right there. You know, I mean, he couldn't wear his number 90. I'm blanking on the captain's name.
Yossi.
So that's already taken, and given a nod to one of his teammates is, I think that's really cool.
Oh yeah, he has been playing great too. Even in the loss they had against, I can't remember, was it Canada or somebody? Like, he was laying his body out on the line. Like, of course you're not going to hold back at all. It's the Olympics. It's the highest stage you're going to play at. But just his defensive game, what we all know him for, has also stayed, you know, true in this tournament so far, as well as, you know, getting a good number of assists. He's definitely maybe not the backbone of that Swiss defense with Roman Yossi up there, but he's getting a lot more recognition on this national stage.
Yeah, one goal, three assists, by the way, is his stats.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. Tied, like, with half the other field, side for 17th, but there's a whole bunch of people that have a total of 4 points. And for a defenseman to be doing that, he's got the exact same stat line as Cale Makar.
Wow.
And less penalty minutes.
And better defensively.
You know, what does that tell you about the Lightning? And, you know, they've got two guys in J.J. Moser and Darren Radish who are playing unbelievable hockey right now. Both those guys, you could even make an argument that they could be up there for a Norris Trophy. That's how good the Lightning defense has been. And you're going to see J.J. Moser's continuing it at the Olympics right now.
I want to bring up another player from the Lightning, but also – just the fact that the team, you know, won a game. That's Gergensen's playing for Latvia, and they beat Germany. That was their first ever Olympic win as a team, which is, you know, great for them. I love seeing, you know, these lower ranked teams being able to get active into it. I mean, it's a huge thing of pride just being able to sometimes even just score a goal. So them actually pulling a win out of the tournament is great, and Gergensen himself has 4 points also.
Dude, Latvia takes their games seriously, man. What was it, a couple of years ago at the World Juniors, I think it was, or maybe the World Championships, they got bronze, and they made it a national holiday for getting a bronze medal win. And the entire country was out, you know, in whatever the capital there, Riga, I think it is, and just celebrating like they won gold. And it's just so cool to see, you know, how much it does mean for some of these smaller, not as, you know, traditional hockey countries. Like, I don't know if that's the right word to use it, but just not these hockey powerhouses, how much it does mean to them to even score a single goal. Italy, you know, they weren't expected to get shots on goal. And yeah, they did get blown out against Finland or whatever, but they've also put up, they were punching above their weight, especially earlier in the tournament as well.
Is that game against Sweden? They got an initial lead when, I mean, help me with the Sweden goalie. He's well known.
Gustafsson.
Yeah, he misplayed a puck, and Italy got up early. They ended up getting up, I think they may have gone up 2-0. I know it was at least 2-2 going into the, I think it was the first intermission or somehow into, the second. But then their goalie was, let's see, I wonder if I can just pull up the stats because I have it right here. 60 shots for Sweden, 22 for Italy, and their goalie was standing on it. You know, Italy's on his head, stand on his head, and he made a toe save that he pulled his groin, unfortunately, and he had to get pulled, and then the game started to finally go Sweden's way. But I mean, I'm Italian. I root for Italy, as second team after the United States. I was really proud that they were able to start getting some notoriety for their play, and then they also played against Slovakia, made it 3-2. So they don't have a single NHL player. They're all people that actually play in the leagues in Italy. So it's cool that they were able to, you know, get some in. They got completely worked by Finland, embarrassingly so, 11-0. But those first two games were pretty solid.
You know, even if you were on the ice for all 11 goals against, even if you're the goal, they used both goalies in that game, I think, I'm pretty sure. But regardless, you still, you know, happy as hell to be there representing your country, even for some of the American and Canadians that are playing for Team Italy as well. Like, it's got to be still one of the coolest moments in your lifetime, even getting shelled like that. It's just such an honor being so proud of your nation. It doesn't matter the blowout. It's cool to see Italy getting represented.
Yeah, I want them to do just a little bit better, so it can bring more to the to the country for the sport. Have them expand, because there's not really many hockey rinks there at all.
Well, I was a little disappointed in Italy. They made me believe after those first two games. And then the game happened. I was like, well, all right, maybe not. But, Matt, you mentioned the two goalies. They had 32 saves and 19 saves, respectively, even in a game where they lost 11. So, I mean, it was – oh, boy, that game was really, really one-sided.
There's a comment that is relevant right now from Dan.
Yes, I was just getting ready to get to that. He said earlier, could the U.S. women's team beat some of the weaker men's teams like Italy? And, you know, it's funny because if you told me this before you had the game against Finland, I might have said, I don't know. I think Italy would still pull off a win. But then after that game against Finland, the U.S. women's team has been playing some really good hockey, and it's different styles, but I think they could. I think they might be able to. I think they might be able to.
This is an apples and oranges comparison, but didn't the U.S. women's soccer team play like an under 16 soccer team and lose? Like, I know it was probably a friendly match, but
it happened here. It happened with our women's national team. It happened, when I say here, I mean like in Wesley Chapel.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and the boys did a pretty good job against them. It's just different, which is okay. But I mean, it's just different.
But seeing how good, because I know the women's U.S. women's soccer team, it's probably not as, you know, high caliber as the U.S. women's hockey team. Like, it might be a much different result there. Yeah. I'd put money on the women's team.
That U.S. women's team is been so good that I think they might be able to do it. I don't know. It's not going to be like, you know, I don't think they're going to dominate anybody because, again, they're very different games. So it's apples to oranges, as we kind of said. But bottom line is, you know, the women's team has been doing really good. They're going for gold. And then getting back to the men's tournament, let's get to this comment here that I do want to get to from Shadow saying, who is the biggest threat to the U.S. in knockout play other than the obvious Canada? So for those that don't know, by the way, too, the U.S. Winning all their games, they got an immediate pass to the quarterfinals. So they will not be playing for a couple of days here while a couple of the other teams play as the tournament officially begins. And, you know, that's a good question because Canada's the obvious answer. I'll let you guys start with this one. Any other teams that you would be worried most to potentially beat the U.S.? Actually, I should pull up the bracket here. So the first teams that they're either going to play is Sweden or Latvia.
Latvia doesn't have a chance in the world against U.S. men. Sweden's the only other one that I think Sweden and Finland have medal possibilities. But if Latvia, I don't think that that'll even be much of a contest. The truth is, though, with the American men's team, it's more about them beating themselves than someone else beating them. So as long as they play their game, they play solid. I mean, they've been playing exactly like you would think a team driven by the Tkachuk brothers would be, which is with a chip on their shoulder and nasty. Actually, Gergensen's had a pretty good comment, I thought, after they already played Latvia, right? Yeah.
Yes.
So he had a pretty good comment, and it was something along the lines of that they didn't mess around. They went out there like they had a job to do and played really, really hard. And, you know, if they're doing that, then, you know, I think the gold is going to be theirs to win because we've seen Canada kind of struggle in a lot of ways comparatively.
Is there a scenario where they play Finland, the U.S.?
No, they will not play Finland because if I'm reading this bracket right, Finland and Canada would face off. So the other team that they could potentially play is Germany, France, or Slovakia.
So it'd be a gold medal game if they played.
Correct.
Right? Yes.
Yeah. Finland.
I'll tell you what, another team that's punched above their weight class is Slovakia as well. I don't consider them a threat, but they've been playing really, really well, being led by Juraj Slavkovský. He's been playing amazing and always has on the international stage. But, yeah, I mean, Sweden's kind of the obvious answer, but even still, they've been a bit dysfunctional this tournament. They haven't had the best of games. They're unhappy with their coach. I don't think they've been deploying their lines the greatest, like not scratching, but hardly playing Philip Forsberg at all, who's, I'd argue, you know, a top five Swedish player, and he's getting treated like the actual 13th forward. And it's, you know, been rumbling that they don't like their coach. They don't, it's interesting. Their coach hasn't coached professionally for like a pro club since 2021 or 2022, something like that. But he gets to coach at the national stage. It's really interesting. And they've just been dysfunctional through this entire tournament. They might be starting to find their game a little bit, so they're definitely still a threat. So the obvious answer is Sweden, if that's, you know, the only, you know, big name team that we can come up against. But Slovakia, a little bit of a dark horse if they somehow manage to do it. They've been playing above their pay grade as well, and they can, you know, any given Sunday, any given tournament, anything can happen.
So the way I'm reading this is the quarterfinal winners are reseeded for the semifinal round. So it all depends who wins to, you know, what those matchups will be. But, you know, it's already decided that it'll either be Sweden or Latvia, you know, to go into this semi quarterfinal round, and then the semis would get reseeded.
Hmm. So with that adjustment, Finland, they kind of scare me.
Well, when you score 11 goals, even if it was against Italy, that's a pretty big threat to say that, hey, look, our offense can go. Joe, I kind of like your answer the best, though, that the biggest threat to the USA other than Canada is the USA. Because there has been a couple of times, if you watch some of these games that they played in, that they haven't looked particularly great. And then they kind of get their feet under themselves and start to play a lot better. But you're not going to be able to do that against, you know, these later rounds in the post, especially against Canada. By the way, Jake Gensel does have a goal in this tournament, so representing the Bolts there for Team USA. So good to see for him. But you know, my biggest worry with Team USA is just some of their stars not being able to get the job done. Like we've seen happen to those guys in the NHL. Will they show up against Team Canada, who's just a well-oiled machine behind head coach John Cooper? I hope it happens, because, of course, I want to see Team USA win, but it's going to be an uphill battle. That is for sure. No question about that.
And I love to pick on this guy, but Austin Matthews, he's actually really come to play. He's played fantastic through this tournament so far. And it takes a lot for me to say, you know, any or many nice things about him. But he's one of those guys that you're just alluding to, Jake, that I hope doesn't vanish in these big time games, who, you know, he has a track record of doing. He was, you know, puck watching for the gold medal winner in the Four Nations faceoff. He was supposed to have McDavid and definitely was puck watching. You see his playoff history as well. Not exactly the best playoff performer, but as of right now, he's just on a rampant pace. I hope he can keep that level of play up as well.
Three goals, two assists, and the three games played. He's currently fifth among all players in the tournament. And just to go ahead and say who they are, it's Connor McDavid, Macklin Celebrini, Yuri Slavkovsky, and Sidney Crosby.
It's Subway Guy. That's what he's been named now on social media. There's a thing.
Subway Guy?
It's really weird. It just popped up my feed recently. Some girl ran into Celebrini and nicknamed him Subway Guy and eventually found out that he plays for Team Canada. It's a whole thing.
I'll have to look it up. But then number four, unsurprisingly, is Sidney Crosby, which, I mean, I don't know. I think he was a giant baby when he came into the league. He has matured into a guy that is just like so solid always. I can't believe he's as old as he is, playing the season that he's having in the NHL and then playing this well in the tournament. Honestly, playing this well in the tournament doesn't surprise me one bit. It's just still the fact that he's able to do it is, I don't know, it's crazy to me.
Yeah, Crosby, I used to hate him, especially, you know, back in the 2017 finals against the Predators. I couldn't stand him. I was cheering for the Preds, and he was just so annoying. But, you know, as, you know, I've gotten older, as he's gotten older, and that was already, you know, a good while into his career, over 10 years, you cannot love the guy. Even if he is your opposition right now, you know, he's all class, all time, all world leader. And you cannot hate him. You have to respect him. He's, you know, this era's Wayne Gretzky, of course, now being usurped by Connor McDavid, who's another guy that you just can't hate. He's definitely gotten rid of and completely subdued that reputation of being a whiner, complaining to the refs, this and that and the other. I'll still never forget about him literally slashing a guy's finger off and not getting a penalty called for that. But
and he yelled at the guy calling him a wimp.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's the way it goes sometimes. I do want to get to a couple other comments here, too. Cynthia saying, Matthew Tkachuk is the dirtiest the USA name by taking unsportsmanlike conduct penalties. It's difficult to watch USA with 30 players on the USA team. We talked a little about this before the Olympics started, because I don't know if it was you, Cynthia, that brought it up. Somebody brought it up, that it's going to be hard to kind of root for Team USA with Matthew Tkachuk, especially because he is
I mentioned it, and it should be stated that the guy that he fought was also the same player that pseudo-boarded. I didn't think it was that dirty of a hit. Matt, you're just always on the spot with the names. Who'd he hit on Team USA? The guy that Tkachuk got into a fight with.
Hague?
It was a hit behind the net, a U.S. player. I just can't think of anything.
He went right to Hagel, because Hagel's always been the guy that's hit.
Dan posted it was McAvoy. I thought it was, yeah, and he was complaining that he got hit in the head. It didn't look like it was intentionally, you know, a hit that was that bad. But then Tkachuk basically kind of went after him a little bit, but the number seven for that team came right back and you know, got into it with him. He's been ejected from the tournament.
Oh, this is that's the Tom Wilson.
Was it the Tom Wilson fight that was? I thought it was the Matthew Tkachuk. Okay, yeah, right.
Yeah, it was.
I was getting
Nathan
mixed
McKinnon,
up.
He got like elbowed or boarded by
Pierre.
I can't remember his name. And yeah, he's
okay. It was the France game.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and Tom Wilson kind of got bodied by that guy.
Yeah, so I mean, they are keeping. My point was going to be that they are trying to keep this tournament as clean as possible. And you know, the original fight that they had, you don't think they are?
No, I'm jokingly saying that because I was going to bring this up at some point. I've enjoyed the Four Nations so much more because let the guys fight, man. Come on, that's a part of hockey.
But this is yeah. I mean, but it's supposed to be. It's always, you know, been that way in the Olympics as far as I can remember, but it's supposed to be more sportsmanlike than, you know, these nations. But yeah, so I mean, it is hard when you see, you know, some of the dirtier stuff that some of those guys can do. Like I said, as long as the team doesn't beat themselves.
Do want to get to another good question here from the comment section. Let me find it because we've had a couple of comments here. Appreciate everybody jumping in and joining the conversation here. I can't find it now, but it was about the here it is. Here we go. Again from Shadow here. Are the American goalies a concern? Last game felt a little nerve-wracking. It just depends, I think, on who ends up playing. I don't know who they're gonna go with. I imagine it's going to be Hellebuck. He actually is listed as the top goaltender in goals against average on the tournament page, which it doesn't show all the goaltenders, so I don't know how accurate this really is, but he has a goals against average of one. If it's Jeremy Swayman, yes, I'm a little bit concerned. He did not look good in the game that he played in. So, guys, any thoughts?
Well, I mean, I don't know. He let in a goal from almost center ice, right? Swayman did? And
he did. One of them.
But, I mean, that's a fluke, right? And the way that the boards are set up and the – I don't think that you hold that one against them too much. You know, how often does that ever happen, right? So, I mean, that's like one that's an outlier that, you know, take away his worst goal against, take away his best save, and see where he averages out. We got a strong enough team where either goalie, that being said, I think Hellebuck would probably be my choice.
Yeah, I mean, goalies don't often get a reputation for, you know, letting in like horrible, just weird fluky goals like that, unless you're like Mike Smith or Vesa Toskala or something. And Jeremy Swayman's not that, but he might still be dealing with like a little bit of a concussion or something from Vasilevsky beating him. So maybe just give him a bit of a break. I'd probably go with Jake Ottinger maybe. Like, I think he's probably maybe the best. I think he's the best goalie of the three in high leverage situations. And some of the playoff series that he's been in, like you see what, you know, Hellebuck kind of turns into in the playoffs. I think Hellebuck's the best of them all, just, you know, in a vacuum, but it's situational for me. And obviously you can't use a guy's pedigree or track record and just go on that straight up. But I would maybe try and do that. If I was, who is it? Mike Sullivan, the coach, I'd maybe give it to Otter, see how he plays in these, quarterfinals against whoever, you know, we get to play, Latvia or Sweden, because you want to let them all play, especially if, you know, Jake Ottinger just has an amazing performance or something. You want to have him warm and keep him warm for the gold medal game or the semifinals, whatever it might be. But I don't know, it's a difficult question. I'm leaning against Swayman. He's my third option.
In juggling goalies, you know, you don't get that rhythm of being able to play. Like when you're not getting the real reps, it's hard to come back in. So even letting them in just for the fact that, I don't know, it's so tough, right? So to whoever you go with right now is probably the guy you're going to have to lean on or want to lean on for the rest of it.
Mm-hmm. It's true, because, you know, it's one mistake and you're done out of the tournament at this point now. But I would like to see him with you, Matt. I would like to see Ottinger play. Give him a shot as the starting goaltender, but I'm going to lean towards Hellebuck as the guy that's going to want to likely be in the net. I think he is good enough, no question, to give USA a chance. I think he's earned that right. He's been one of the best goaltenders in the NHL in recent years. I know Winnipeg is not having the greatest of years right now when it comes to their NHL season.
But that doesn't fall on Hellebuck. Like, no, he's not the problem.
No, it does not. It does not. But at the end of the day, go ahead, Matt.
Well, it's a good problem to have. It's not like you're, you know, Canada, who's also had pretty decent goaltending this tournament so far, where you're like, do I play Binner? Do I play Kemper? Or, you know, what's his name? Logan Thompson. Like, you know, they're all three of those goalies are below all three of the U.S.'s goalies. You don't really have to kind of you know, feel who's playing good. Obviously, I think Cooper has his mind made up with Binnington, but I don't think they're as good of goalies. Again, in a vacuum, any single one of those.
After what he did in the Four Nations faceoff.
Yeah, it's hard to bet against him, but even still, he's pretty volatile. You never know what he's going to blow up. Obviously, in these high leverage situations, you know Binnington's going to show up, but anything can happen. Goaltending is one of the weirdest positions ever. But again, it's a good problem to have. I think any three of the U.S. goalies are good enough to put up against any of these teams.
I'm going through some of the statistics that are on the official website here, and there's some kind of interesting ones. One being power play, and obviously with these round robin rounds, you play weaker teams, right? You're not playing the top teams, and it's by design. So Canada, with their three games played, they've got a 44% power play efficiency. United States is at 42%. And then it drops off fast, but we're still in the over 20s for like Switzerland, Finland, Slovakia, Sweden, Latvia, all in the 20s. And then for penalty killing, the United States is a perfect 100%.
I got to say, Canada's power play, I would hate to go up against that. It looks dangerous. You've got McKinnon, McDavid, Crosby, Celebrini, and Makar at the point. And that looked terrifying every time they've been on the power play. It looks like the Harlem Globetrotters. I got to give them credit there.
Yeah, it looks like they've got four goals to the United States having three. So, they're pretty close, though, neck and neck in terms of that. I think it's going to come down to the penalty killing special teams. And if they go head to head, they've only allowed one power play goal though. The Canada has, and they've been pretty solid otherwise.
Does it say how many power plays they've had against them?
Seven. Okay. I'm assuming that's what DVG means. Cause it's like a kind of a weird the way they have it. But, it looks like they've had seven and the United States has had nine.
Is there any chance, if assuming U.S. plays Canada in the gold medal game, that somebody drops the gloves? I mean, you only got one game left, so it's not like you're going to miss a lot of Olympic hockey. So, I mean, I know it's the gold medal game, but maybe a fourth liner drops the gloves?
I don't see it. I think there's too much on the line, but then you have to start wondering, would you take that trade? You know, I think it's probably pretty even in terms of having Tkachuk out if was going to fight Hagel, right? Like, that's not like taking out Austin Matthews or something. So you gotta, if you're going to do it, you have to be really strategic about it.
I don't think Tkachuk would want to go back again with Hagel. He's 0-2 against him. Why go 0-3?
If some U.S. guy, anybody, gets up there, does a fight, and sacrifices himself for the rest of the game, but it gets the guys fired up, and they come through with a win. Instant hero, instant MVP. I don't care that he didn't play in the game. He is hands down the MVP. I would absolutely love it. We got to get there first, though, of course, to that gold medal game. There's a long way to go. Should be fun. I'm very excited to watch some of these games, and hopefully I'll be able to catch more of them as we get closer to the gold medal game.
I was just going to say, I know we don't have too much more to really discuss in terms of hockey. I was wondering for you guys, are there any other sports that you've been enjoying or that you watch in particular?
I mean, nothing that I'm like intently watching or caring who really wins or competes. The Winter Olympics are, I think, far superior to the Summer Olympics. But what's the one downhill skiing with all like the lumps and bumps on it? What is that called? I can't remember.
You're not talking slalom. You're talking about the other slalom. One. Yeah, the other one that's yeah.
I can't remember. But it looks like Braille on the course. That one's always fun to watch. Just anything really. The skeleton and luge, really fun for the first couple runs, but then everything starts to look the same. So
skeleton's insane. You're gonna go face first down what do you call that course? Does it have a true name? Like you in hockey, you play at a rink. What is the slope?
Maybe a track.
Track. Yeah, that's nuts to go face first.
Nervous system. Like that.
That's what it's called.
I don't know. Nervous system. You know, there's skeleton system. Nervous system.
That's great. By the way, we do need to point out because I did not bring this up at the start of the show. Joe, you just absolutely killing it right here with the USA flag in the background, and you even got the blue cap and then the red shirt. I'm loving it for
So I mean, you guys know I usually have the blue background. I have two, just they're just two LED lights that, you know, I shine in the background there, and I tried making one blue, one red, and just kind of resulted in purple. It blended too much in the middle. If we had a wider screen, you could see the edges of it, but because it's so tight, it just looked purple. So I hang a USA flag outside the house. So I brought it in and hung it up instead. Gotta rock it.
The flag looks fantastic. The only way to really look better than Joe in his outfit right now, that's if you head over to shop.rblrsports.com and use code BOLTS to get 10% off your order. Even though they are not playing right now, you can still use code BOLTS. Lightning, Rays, Bucks, Rowdies, Sun, team-inspired merch over there for you guys. Be sure to go check it out. Grab a shirt. Helps out the podcast. We really appreciate it. And you guys get a cool T-shirt out of it as well. Links, as always, are in the description below. I've not gotten to watch a ton of the Olympics again because I missed a lot. Unfortunately, for those that don't know, I work with the minor league baseball team. We got spring training going on right now, so there's a lot going on. It's very busy over there. I wish I could have watched more. I do enjoy watching curling. I will never forget freshman year of college. The Olympics were going on, I believe, and I was watching curling at like 3 o'clock in the morning. So I enjoy the Winter Olympics a lot more than the Summer Olympics. So I wish I could be watching more. And curling is probably the sport that I would kind of lean towards because there's a little more elements of hockey, if that kind of makes sense. Some of the other sports I'm not as into, but listen, at the end of the day, as long as Team USA is in it and competing for a gold medal, I'm all in for that. I do quickly want to mention too, before we get ready to wrap here in a minute too, for Team Canada, Brandon Hagel did finally get on the board, scoring a goal, even though he should have had an assist a long time ago if McDavid could lift the puck. Who thought I would be saying that sentence? and also, there was an interesting moment with Team Canada and head coach John Cooper, and that, if you remember, especially in the shootout, as we all know from the 2014 Olympics, you can pick anybody to take your shots, whether it's in the shootout or even on a penalty shot. It does not have to be the player that was on the breakaway. And of course, Celebrini had this opportunity with Team Canada, and they came over to ask Cooper who he wanted to go. And Cooper knew that everybody wanted to see the kid shoot. And he said, there's no question. And Celebrini was already getting ready to go take the shots. He went with him. Cooper's doing a fantastic job once again, coaching Team Canada. It is seriously unbelievable how good of a coach he is, and every level that he continues to win at. I don't think he's won. No, he's won in the Four Nations Faceoff. Did he win an Olympic medal? I don't think he has. So that would just add to his resume of truly winning at every level that he's coached at, if he's able to pull off the win here in the Olympics.
I just want to take it back to Celebrini for just a quick moment. Man, that kid is way more impressive than I guess maybe you would have originally given him credit to. He's playing as if he's way older than he currently is. I mean, he's what, 19, I think. He's got such poise, and like the mental decision making maturity when he's out there. It's ridiculous. Man, that kid's going to be something else for a long time to come. And you're right when it comes to Coop. You know, he's doing a good job. He's been mixing up the lines a lot and figuring out what works and his decision making. You know, if for some reason the U.S. gets completely eliminated in the next round, you know, obviously don't want it to happen, then yeah, I'll switch gears and go ahead and root to our neighbor to the north and see if Coop can't add to his. I mean, how big is his closet? You think his shelf of awards?
Not big enough. He's going to have to make room for a Jack Adams at the end of the year as well. So, no, but Celebrini as well. People called me crazy, mostly my friends, when I compared him as a miniature Sidney Crosby, because he's not, you know, straight line speed like McDavid or extremely powerful like MacKinnon, but just his IQ. He's smart defensively, and he just looks like he belongs there. In any role, any position you give him, he looks like he belongs. He has seriously, seriously impressed me. He's everything that Bedard was supposed to be, who's also a fantastic player. But over the last 2 years, one of them's definitely a generational talent. No shade against Bedard, but Celebrini has blown his expectations out of the water.
By the way, John Cooper is a two-time NAHL champion, a one-time USHL champion, a one-time AHL champion, two-time Stanley Cup champion, and a international winner of the Four Nations Face-Off, now going for an Olympic gold medal. That resume is absolutely ridiculous for head coach John Cooper. Man, we are so lucky to have him as a coach. It is an absolute privilege to watch him behind the bench. There's no question about that. I do one last thing I want to bring up here because I think it's important. We talked about a lot before we got into the Olympics that the rink is going to be really weird because, you know, it was basically built 2 days before the Olympics started, and the dimensions have been smaller. There's maybe been a couple of times, and maybe to the people that are more well trained with the hockey eye, that you can tell a difference. I don't think it's been that bad, though. I think the players have adjusted to it. There's nothing been too crazy, at least for me. I don't know about you guys when it comes to those smaller rinks, so that's a good thing.
I haven't noticed. To be completely honest, I haven't noticed. I have to remind myself that the rink is 3 feet shorter, but I cannot say I've noticed much of a difference at all.
Yeah, personally, I haven't. I haven't even thought about it, so it hasn't stuck out to me, for the entire tournament. There was something that I read where, I'm trying to think of exactly how the math works out, but it's something along the lines of an NHL rink is made to be 200 feet, and if you more or less convert it to like meters, the difference between a meter and a yard is something to do with the conversion, where like that's why it's like a foot and a half shorter, because it ended up being like, was it like 60, or maybe they made it like 60 meters long or something like that, 66, 65 meters long. And so it's like they used meters and it ended up being a foot and a half shorter than an NHL rink. But I haven't noticed it during play. Personally, it looks like they've got plenty of space out there and plenty of space behind the net for plays to be set up.
I thought it was going to be a way bigger deal, actually, like just given how well-trained these guys are, how much they're used to a 200-foot game, literally, their entire life. I thought maybe players like Crosby or Jack Eichel, like neutral zone murderers, would, seriously excel. Of course, they're both playing great, but it's not been anything that's been like, well, he really took advantage of that situation right there with the condensed neutral zone. So yeah.
I pulled it up just real quick. They went with 60 meters long, which is 196.85 feet, as opposed to 200 full feet. So that's the difference right there.
Oh, well, there you go. That's not bad at all. And it hasn't been noticeable. So that's been really good to see. By the way, did you see that Team Canada? They were playing somebody who doesn't have any NHL players. And for those that don't know, the warm-ups are longer by Olympic standards. The NHL warm-ups, I think, are 16 minutes. So there was a point before one of the games, the entire team was out warming up except for Team Canada. They weren't out there because they're all NHL guys and they're used to their warm-ups being 16 minutes. They didn't even come out when it actually started, which I thought was kind of funny.
Must have been France. That was yesterday, and they won that game. They didn't even need to take warm-ups. They won that game 10-2.
Oh, well, there you go. So it's not clearly not affecting them. Also, one thing that I have noticed, not the dimensions of the ice. Do you guys have any idea what I'm about to say?
No.
Because you should, because we talk about it all the time.
I know.
Well, now I know what it is.
No jersey ads, no ads on the boards, no gambling. Oh, it's been a breath of fresh air not having to look at that 24/7.
Eureka noticed something else as well, if you want to read what he put in our chat.
Oh, boy. Oh, sweet Caroline every second. Yeah, no, all that one. I kind
of
just...
There's been a lot of sweet Caroline.
Tune out. More Freebird, though, so that's good.
The other thing I definitely noticed was in one of the games, it sounded exactly like a soccer football announcer was covering it. And I think it was that Canada-France game. When Brandon Hagel scored a goal. I'm sure you guys picked that up as well.
Yeah.
It's funny because they had all the players say their names in their accents and everything. On, I think you can still go find it on the Olympic website, which, by the way, as a broadcaster, is fantastic. I love when teams do that because, trust me, pronunciations can drive you up a wall sometimes. One of the most important things. So that is cool that they did that.
One of the guys, oh man, yeah, it is neat that they had all the pronunciations. One of the guys has a tongue twister of a, I don't know if you saw it, has a tongue twister of a first and last name, and he said it like 15 times really fast, and just, you know, a lot of the guys had fun with it, with trying, with, you know, putting their name out there. Some of the guys were saying it, saying their names in different accents, just being silly, but oh, I'll have to find what it is.
Thunderbug posted his, by the way.
Did he really?
Yeah, it's just silent.
How did he? Okay.
Again, shout out to the Thunderbug social media team. It got, because he even put the little sticker on the on his story that said sound on. And I'm sitting there like an idiot. Like, what's he going to do here? You know, it's just quiet because Thunderbug doesn't talk. So that was really funny.
That's funny.
And I'm not saying it was him, but it was someone like Capo Caco. Well, I can't even say it the first time right, but he said it like four times real fast.
Is it Uko Pekka Luukkonen?
No, it was I mean, that's almost the word salad right there, like, or just kind of mush to get it right. But it was, yeah, good times.
I do have to bring up this comment quick here. From Daniel said maybe if they had jersey eyes, they could afford to allow clips on social media. Which, no, they would. It's just more money that they can stick in their gritty pockets. But that's a funny comment. Well done. Real quick, Beverly too saying Bellemare looked great too for France. Yeah, absolutely. Been a while since we got to watch him play for the Lightning, but good for him. So
I love Pierre-Edouard Bellemare so much. Just as a guy, like, he was so I fell in love with him when he was a Bolt, and he maybe more than anybody else in this tournament is so grateful to be there. I love his energy about just everything in the world.
And I just realized that I completely misattributed that quote about U.S. playing hard. It was Pierre-Edouard Bellemare that said about Canada when they got blown out 10-2.
So that's twice you've confused the U.S. with Canada.
Yeah, it's twice. Yeah, same game. It was the same game. That's what happens.
USA fan?
Well, hey, listen. Yeah, you know, this was this weekend was the Knights Parade for Gasparilla. So officially the end of Gasparilla season for me. So it's a big adjustment.
This weekend was also the Daytona 500, which is the start of the NASCAR season, baby. I was America maxing hard this week.
For those that don't know, Matt, who is big into and so much, I know you commented on here somewhere.
Yeah.
Excuse me again. This happened in last week's episode, but if you ever want to see Matt's profile picture, we're all very confused when this happened. But that, of course, Dale Earnhardt Jr., correct, right?
Yeah, it was senior.
Senior, sorry. It's his profile picture for so. I know, Matt, you were very upset that some of the Lightning players were hanging out at the –
Oh, with Joey Thanks. Logano. Oh, God.
Terrible.
Yeah, Joe, you might know, but Jake, it's like hanging out with Matthew Tkachuk. He's the Matthew Tkachuk of NASCAR. Maybe even like a little worse.
Well, Matt was ready to wave all four. Was it four or three of them?
Three of those them.
But hey, all right, we got a little bit more Olympic hockey to watch here. Of course, we'll be back to break it all down once again once this team wraps up, hopefully with a USA gold medal victory in both for the men's and the women's. But, guys, I think that's going to do it for us in this episode. Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in with us once again. Don't forget to follow us on social media at RBR Lightning, at RBLR Sports. Like, subscribe, ring the bell for notifications, all of that fun stuff so you do know when we do go live. With that said, talk to you guys in the next one. Go Team USA, baby.
USA, USA.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.